KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration Services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or HVCAlbuquerqueNM.com on the web. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Our friend Shelly Rep with the New Mexico Dream Centers in studio. Shelly, we actually had you on at the beginning of the month, so maybe our listeners aren't expecting you quite as soon. But Shelly, this whole problem of human sex trafficking, human trafficking, you were kind enough to bring on a number of different people. You brought on Mr. Mays,
yes,
from the Attorney General's office.
Yes.
And you have you haven't brought anybody for APD yet. Anybody with APD doing that?
So we definitely do work with APD at some level. Mm-hmm. APD has a lot of irons in the fire right now with just some of their internal protocols and procedures because of the DOJ oversight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so APD's, you know, definitely got a lot of things. We work with some retired APD. I could bring some retired APD on.
So I get to say this. I get to say this, and hopefully they won't tell me sayonara, Jim.
Okay.
We got to get the DOJ out of APD's hair. They just have to go. You know, there are several cities that I've read about, Seattle, New Orleans, Louisiana, both police departments affected in very much the same way as we have. Anytime you put a government agency in charge of a government agency, you've just exponentially increased the amount of bureaucracy. And I've talked to some of our police officers, and they just say, look, the amount of paperwork and the amount of stuff that they have to do now is just ridiculous. And it has nothing to do with training in you know, high-pressure situations.
Right.
It all has to do with writing stuff down and all this so-called accountability. What you do is you get a whole bunch of attorneys involved, so now your paperwork is about 50 times what it should be. So I'm complaining. Yes, I am.
Right.
And I want them out of here so that we can get our police department back to doing what our men and women and our first responders do well. And hey, did our department need to make improvements? I'm going to say this. Yeah, maybe they did. But every department can get better in the country.
Right.
We can all get better as people.
Right.
So I just think it's time. That was my soapbox for the day.
That was a good soapbox. I do, you know, my heart does go out to APD for a lot of those kinds of issues. I've heard from my friends who have retired because of the DOJ issues. That it is really difficult. And I think, Jim, if we look at it, I think, you know, the entrance and the reasons for DOJ coming in, I think were very valid. And so I look back at that. This is what I've seen, though, is that the safety and the security in our city has not improved with the DOJ oversight. And from what many officers that I've known that have retired due to many of these issues, they don't see how it can improve with what they have to go through now just to survive. It's tough.
Shelly, I guess I'm oversimplifying it, but I've been around athletics my entire life. And if you have, for example, a Lobo basketball coach, men's or women's, who comes in here and doesn't win games,
right,
doesn't achieve the measurables, what happens?
They're out.
They're out. So I look at the data of our state, and I look at the political leaders in our state. I'm pointing at our representatives in the House and
right,
the state Senate and in Washington and our governor. And I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, we are last in childhood wellness in the country.
Yep.
We're 50. And that's part of what we're talking about today.
It absolutely is.
And when we sit down and we talk about, you know, the number, our unemployment is the highest in the country, us in New York. Okay, everybody's going to give the COVID excuse. Well, guess what? There are states in this country that went through the same COVID we did, didn't have mass mandates, didn't shut down their economies. And guess what? They're not last. They're at the top of the heap in terms of, you know, they're in the top 10 in the country.
Right.
So I'm just talking about really simple things. We have got to, as voters, and you're going to talk a little bit later about legislation that you've tried to promote that's going to do a couple of things. It's number one, going to make it really severe penalties for traffickers, people that are enslaving other human beings,
right,
particularly children. But you're also going to penalize the men that seem to be creating the demand for the so-called product. What a horrible thing for you to desire. And if you do desire it right now, we need to help you.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're listening to this broadcast, it's time to make some changes so you don't hurt anybody.
Right. 100%, Jim.
So, boy, it's a soapbox morning, I guess.
It is. Wow. This might be the Jim Williams show talking to Jim Williams.
Well, it's not really, because I appreciate your expertise so much. And Shelly, you do some things that I want to say are long-suffering. The people that you're having to deal with have been severely injured, severely traumatized. The people that are inflicting this pain, you know who they are. And Shelly, you are a woman. I've known you since you were a young lady, 15 years old. And it worries me that you have the experience with other people, but you can walk down Central and say, yeah, that's a trafficker. Yeah, that's a,
trafficking victim.
Right. That is so scary that that's happened in our city.
Right.
So let's start with this. Let's talk about the children that are most at risk for traffickers.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I think people need to realize is that kind of anybody could be a trafficking victim, but when you look at the socioeconomic state of the United States and you look at those that have survived trafficking, have come out of trafficking, you're going to see that 80% of those people were in a child welfare system. So there's 20% that are obviously other sources, but our kids who are in our child welfare, which is our foster care system, are the ones that are being targeted. They're the ones that are falling into this trap of trafficking. And we really need to understand that. And Jim, we need to address that, especially in our state. As you said, we are 50 of 50 for child welfare. And that is a scary place to be for our children because they are not being cared for appropriately. We currently have over 4,700 kids in our foster care system in New Mexico right now. 4,700 kids, and all of those kids then are vulnerable to these external factors, these things that could potentially make them a trafficking victim. So we need to look at those types of situations.
So we have a couple of charitable organizations that we work with. For example, the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. They
Yes.
have approximately 17 or 18 foster kids on their property. Very oftentimes, they will take in a child, and then they will raise them all the way through. They get to college.
Right.
They even help them a little bit with that. I mean, again, they're Christian people that are doing their best to try to help kids and really for the long term. Now, you've done that, too. So,
right.
Did you say 5,700?
4,700.
4,700. That is just a ton. Are every one of those children placed with a foster parent or an organization?
No, they're not all placed with foster parents. So some of them would be in agencies like you talked about. So they might be in that type of agency, which would be called a congregate care agency. Some of them are what we would call fictive kin or kinship. So they're living with somebody that they know or a relative. They are not living with their parents, but that person is being compensated for their care. So there's a lot of different kind of renditions of what's happening, but essentially that's how many kids we would call our system involved. They're involved in our system in some way. Some of them might be in like juvenile detention centers, things like that. They're basically, the state has custody of 4,700 kids. That's a lot of kids to have custody of. In our tiny state, Jim, like think of it, like our state, we have, what, 2 million people in our state?
2 million.
Mm-hmm. 2 million people. And so 4,700 kids are currently in foster care.
Well, it's heartbreaking, and our audience, which is largely faith-based, are often looking for ways that they can serve in ministry. They're
right.
They're looking for ways they can help financially. They're looking for ways they can volunteer, which is going to be a big topic for today for the New Mexico Dream Center. But I know you might want to offer some of them the challenge, because you've done this yourself, of being a foster parent. tell us how that whole system works.
Absolutely. So my husband, Dan, and I came into becoming foster parents because we had been working with teen human trafficking victims, and they didn't have any resources. They didn't have any next steps for them. So essentially what would happen is they'd come into foster care with somebody, they would run away. They'd go into a youth shelter, they'd run away. They'd go into a group home, they'd run away. And so they run through that so many times that there's no solutions. And so what happens, Jim, hand to God, what happens is they don't have any more solutions. CYFD doesn't have any more options for them. So they end up homeless on the street. So then they might check in with their worker, their CYFD worker. They might be living with friends. They might be couch surfing, but essentially they are not housed in any way because CYFD's run out of options with these kids. And so we had one kid that we had been working with for, 18 months, something like that. And she had run out of options. And so I talked with Dan and I'm like, we need to do something. Let's see about, doing foster care for her. And so we reached out to CYFD, to her worker, and within 60 days, we were licensed. Within 3 weeks, she was actually in our home, but within 60 days, we were licensed. So we definitely went through like the fire hose kind of experience of becoming foster parents with CYFD, but we felt very equipped because we had been working with these young people for a long time. The other thing that was helpful for us and would be the challenge, I guess, that I would put out there for looking at recruiting foster parents is Dan and I are a little older now. Like, I know you've known me since I was 15, but I'm definitely not 15 anymore.
Here's the problem, and you know this. I'll always be older than you.
You will win the older contest. You will always win the older contest. But we don't, all of our children are adults. We don't have, we don't have young kids anymore. They're all adults. They're all married. And so we have, but Dan and I are still young enough to do things. And so we have the time and the energy to really be able to care for a teenager. And that's who we really need here in the system. And so all of a sudden we had this very needy teenager come into our life, and we are so grateful that she did. And we're so grateful that we have more teens in our life in that same area.
Okay. We got to back up a little bit. And
okay.
I'm not indicting your foster child because I don't 100%. Know her. But you've already mentioned that she ran away from other situations. This was not a person that was trusting anybody. She had obviously endured some trauma, and yet your heart was for her.
Right. Absolutely. So this is a really common thing with teens who are system involved. Again, teens who are in and out of foster care. It's a very common thing for teens who do have trauma, whether it is trauma because they're trafficking victims or trauma because of neglectful parents, physical abuse, sexual abuse. All this trauma creates a person who does not know how to trust or doesn't have a reason to trust and does not know how to connect with somebody. So what we did, we knew going into this that we could potentially be exactly like every other foster parent that she had, or we could choose to do things differently and educate ourselves, have a different format in our home so that she could potentially be more successful with us. And so that's what we did. So we learned about reactive attachment disorder. We took classes about attachment therapy and attachment systems so that we could start creating those with her. We decided we needed to put cameras up in our around our house on the outside so we could see if there were people going in or out, so we could know if somebody was going to be in there sneaking into her room or if she was going to be sneaking out, so we would know right away. We worked very hard on developing roots for her to be able to cling to, experiences, shared lived experiences that she hadn't had, so she could look back and go, I've got roots there. That's safe. I can go back there. So we did things very differently than what we see as the common foster parent training. We took it upon ourselves to do things differently, more extreme, so to speak, so that this kid wouldn't be lost to the streets.
Shelley, where does your faith come in? And are you able to share that with the kids?
Yeah, 100%. So I did not grow up Christian, Jim. Like, I got saved when I was in high school through FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which is how we met, was through that program. And so I didn't have a background in Christianity. And so when I went in, I went all in. I was the zealot, and that's where my faith started. And it didn't start with just being grateful for God saving me, which I was very grateful, but living this as the rest of my life, knowing that Jesus is the way not only to salvation, but to restoration, to healing, to justice. And that's just been the picture of my life. Like, I worked in children's ministry for years because kids need an advocate. And then doing this type of work, it's that same thing. Is I have this little broken piece, or maybe it's not broken, maybe it's good, piece in my brain that causes me to stand up for the underdog, especially those that are being exploited or being preyed on. Like, I can't handle bullies, and I'm not going to stop talking about that. And so that's been my faith experience, because I think that's what Jesus did for us, right?
What's really neat, though, is the Holy Spirit has given you a courage, because I have to tell you, it takes courage. For me, it takes courage to walk on some of the streets where you've walked at night to observe some of this activity, sex traffickers on corners and recruiting kids and all of those different things. And then the courage to love somebody that's has a difficult background. And yet you've also seen the joy of change happening in people's lives.
Absolutely. And you do have to go into this without like your superhero cape on, like, I'm so wonderful, I'm a Christian person, I'm going to change lives. And so that person becomes a project. Well, they're not. They're a person. And I think about how God relates to us. And he does not have expectations of us, Jim, right? We see that over and over, because we are sinners, mired in our sin, and our only hope in salvation is because of what Jesus has done for us. And he did that freely. And so we have that type of opportunity. When we go into these relationships with our kids, we pour our time, we pour our effort, we pour our money into that for them freely. I'm not going to expect from them that they're going to thank me. And I get that from people all the time. They're like, your foster kid should be so grateful for you. You've done all these things and yada, yada. Don't they say thank you? Aren't they grateful? And I'm like, I don't know, because I can't make that my game. Like, my long game is for these kids to be in a position where they can be safe, where they can know what safety is. And when you feel safe, you can make good decisions. And when you feel safe and you make good decisions, then you can make decisions about faith and about eternity. If you're just trying to figure out how to live on the streets and somebody coming up and saying, okay, here's your breakfast burrito and Jesus loves you, you want to accept him? What's that going to do for them?
Well, you are really giving us a clear picture, and I hope there's people that have the same heart that you have, and we're going to give them a way to contact you. They can reach you through the NewMexicoDreamCenter.org, and what is your phone number?
So our phone number is 505-900-3833.
3833, 900-3833. We have a lot more to go with Shelley Repp, New Mexico Dream Center Executive Director. We'll be back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. When I was a teenager and still an unbeliever, I knew the gospel, but I was afraid to give my life to Christ. I mean, God was asking me to trade the known for the scary unknown. At least I knew my life, or I thought I did, but I had no idea what God had in store for me. Then a friend showed me Romans chapter 8, where it says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" Wow, compared to that, my plans for my life seem pretty insignificant and small-minded. For now, even though God's plans for me included a wheelchair, he still has graciously given me all things. Joy, peace, a purpose for living, contentment with life, and a home in heaven. I am so glad I traded my life for his, and I hope you're glad today, too.
This is A Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
Luke's Gospel, we find this statement about Jesus. We find that he, at that point, began to sweat great drops of blood as he prayed. He was in great agony, and his blood fell down to the ground. There in Gethsemane, a third garden, a garden between the gardens. You have the new heavens and you have also the Garden of Eden. What connects and fuses these two is the river in between that ran crimson, that ran red. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus accepted the mission and was able to connect heaven back to earth again. So you and I can live not just looking at what was lost and not just enjoying what is here now, but also looking forward to all that God has in store for us.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to LeviLusko.com.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I want to remind everybody that today is Flag Day. Our flag consists of 13 horizontal stripes, 7 red alternating with 6 white. The colors of the flag are symbolic as well. Red symbolizes hardiness and valor. White symbolizes purity and innocence, and blue represents vigilance and perseverance and justice. We also have the blue, obviously the blue background is village vigilance, perseverance, and justice. And then we have the 50 stars with all 50 states. There's a reason that our flag stands today. So, you know, we've just had Memorial Day here a couple weeks ago, and the men and women that serve our country, we appreciate you. We appreciate all of our first responders, and I hope that we will, as citizens of this country, start to represent what the colors of our flag represent, and love each other. And if we're going to make a mistake, let's err on the side of love and care for one another. I hope that love overcomes your theology. I hope love overcomes your philosophy, and I hope love overcomes any kind of dispute that you have with anybody. We are in a dispute right now with people that have some propensity to buying children, kids that are trafficked. And, you know, I hate to keep using the sex word, and I apologize to our listeners, but it's a difficult subject. It's something that is pervasive throughout New Mexico. In fact, Shelley, you just brought in an article about something going on in Portales, of all places.
Right, absolutely. I think so often people think that small towns are safe, and this kind of stuff doesn't happen. Like when you're talking about child sexual exploitation, that happens in big cities where it's scary and dirty, and especially Albuquerque, because we're really scary and dirty. And so that's what they think about. And so they think that these little small towns are so safe. Well, I came across an article that came out this morning from Portales, New Mexico, and the surrounding communities, which are very much like ranching communities, agriculture communities around there. And there is a bus driver for a school district out there, a 40-year-old bus driver, who started exploiting kids that were on his bus. And essentially what he was doing was he was threatening them if they would not send him nude pics. And so these kids were doing that. There were several girls that were doing that for him. He tried more than just these girls, but the kids that started sending him the pics, the kids that were really vulnerable, were all in foster care, Jim. They were all in foster care. So let me just read this quote from taken directly from the phone of the guy who did this. And so on his phone, it says, "Hey, you are either going to send nude photos here or my main account, or I'll call and tell your Nana everything. And you know, she will believe me because I am your bus driver." And so here is a person in a position of authority and power and coercing young people to do these types of things. And, you know, when we think about these kids in foster care and we think about, well, why was it just foster care? Why weren't they kids that were in a regular home? Well, we have to understand that when a child's in foster care, they've already had a number of terrible things happen in their life, whether it is abuse or neglect. But what happens when you come into foster care is you start getting disconnected from those safety factors in your life. So you're disconnected from parents who should be a safety factor. You're disconnected. You're in a different school potentially. So you're disconnected from the teacher that knows you. All of these disconnections make you more vulnerable and more willing to do things that a kid who feels confident and safe and secure are going to do. And so you end up being in that position to be exploitable. This is what we have to face when we look at kids who are system involved, those foster children that are in our state and across the United States, that all of their safety measures have been severed and they're in situations where they don't know if they're safe. They don't know how safe their foster parents are. In New Mexico, it is very common for a kid to change placements at least 6 times. And so you have this kid that's already disconnected, put him in foster placement number one. Oh, it's temporary. You're only there for 5 days. So then you go to a different placement and then you're on to your third. And so we look at this and we're creating in kids the inability to be able to develop safety within themselves because of the system that they're in. And it's not their fault. And then they're preyed upon by 40-year-old men driving school buses.
I want to qualify that you really want to encourage people to become foster parents.
I do.
But it sounds like the system that's in place with the good old government isn't preparing foster parents to deal with the kids. And you offer some of that training through the New Mexico Dream Center.
I do. We do. And specifically, we offer training and we offer what we would call advocacy groups for parents who are willing to take in teens. As much as, you know, when people decide to do foster care, what we have seen in the CYFD system is that in general, people are more willing to take younger kids. So they want the babies, they want the toddlers, the young elementary age, because, you know, face it, like, kids are a lot cuter when they're 3 years old versus when they're 15 years old. They're just not quite as cute. And they come with a whole lot of problems by the time they're in foster care and they're in their teens. And so they're a much more difficult population for CYFD to find foster parents for. But the other thing then, Jim, and this is from my own experience, when we became foster parents, was that there was not training to how to be a good foster parent for teens. I learned all sorts of stuff about how to be a good foster parent for littles, but I wasn't taking littles into my home. And so I did not get from CYFD that type of training. And I think that is what we really need to look at doing, is getting appropriate training for people who are willing to take teens so that we're not going to continue to lose them to the perv bus drivers out there in our world.
The paradox for parenting, and I have 5 children, and you have 4?
3.
3. And a foster child.
Yes, yes. We still do foster. So we have a foster kid who actually gave birth. And so we have a foster kid and sort of a foster grandbaby. Which is awesome.
I know you. You're always going to have that relationship. That's going to be your grandchild forever, and she's going to probably 100%. Be your child forever. But there's some people that don't appreciate or don't approach it that way.
Correct.
And, you know, there is money involved. The state does assist people that are taking in foster children. And you believe, I think you told me off air, that the amount of money is actually pretty reasonable so that you can actually do a good job of taking care of that child. It's heartbreaking, though, that some people would go get a license to be a foster parent for the wrong motivation. So we're really today trying to talk to people maybe in the faith community that, like you said, maybe their children are grown up and they want to be involved in ministry. Well, this is not easy.
It's not easy. But boy, I'll tell you what, if you want to do the hard work to build into somebody's life for eternity, this is the hard work. This is planting that garden.
And you've obviously received blessings and the love and the care and the changes you see in someone's life, knowing that God worked through your life to do that. That's got to be, you know, just an amazing accomplishment. I want to ask you about legislation. We kind of have to, and we're going to come back to some other stories and things in the second half hour, but I know that you've been involved with the legislature. And I will just say before I ask this question, I have a big mouth. That's why I'm on the radio. But I can't imagine that there's a more bipartisan issue that everybody ought to agree on than to make penalties for sex trafficking so difficult that sex traffickers are dissuaded from being in our state, period. And I want to say that they should also come up with legislation for men Now, I understand there's some women caught in this, too, but I'm primarily addressing men because I are one, right?
There you go. It's true.
You have to have some stiff penalties for, you know, make people give an account, treatments and all. I can't even imagine what leads somebody mentally to this kind of addiction. But Shelley, tell us some of the legislation that you're trying to get passed that will help in these areas.
Absolutely. So we worked this last legislative session on House Bill 56, which was specifically to increase penalties for traffickers and then change some definitions so that a person who trafficked a 12-year-old would be getting the same penalty as a person who trafficked a 15-year-old, because the way that our state statutes are written is that there's a higher penalty if you are 12 years old or under than there is between 12 and 17 years old. They're all children. They're all in care. They're not allowed to make decisions for themselves yet. So the fact that they would be treated differently is worrisome. We are one of only four states that does not have a bottom on child brides, a bottom age for child brides. And not that we have like a big thriving child bride market, but this came up in a community in Taos not that long ago, where they had children up there that they consider to be child brides. And so we don't have a bottom age on that. I think we should address that as well. In this last legislative session, we had, I believe, seven pieces of legislation around improvements specifically for CYFD, for child welfare. And out of those, one of them got all the way through, and it was a very small piece that was allowing for attorneys to be paid certain amounts of money for representing children. So did it really improve the lives of children? Well, yes, but it's not doing the changes that we need. We had presented legislation about creating an ombudsman position so that there would be a third party that CYFD would be accountable to for complaints against them. That was absolutely not passed. There were several different pieces that we looked at to try to make things better for children in care, and they didn't pass. And our human trafficking legislation to care better for children who have been trafficked didn't pass. They were all stalled. Every single piece was stalled.
You mentioned HB 56 when you introduced it in the House.
Yes.
Almost unanimously approved, on to the Senate. Then it goes into the, I'm going to call it the mysterious committee. And then the reason it goes into committee, in my opinion, and I don't care if anybody gets mad at me, is because they can kill it without anybody knowing who killed it in committee. And that really angers me. We need to stop that whole thing. The Senate and the House need to really pass these bills. Why would anyone even argue about it? I'd love to hear anybody on either side of the aisle say, yeah, this is the reason we don't want this bill.
Right.
And I'm inviting them to come on the show to explain that, because that is just not the way things should be done. We need to get rid of sex traffickers. We need to get rid of.
Exactly.
We need to stop men from taking advantage of young people, or people just in general, because this is not just children we're talking about. It's just, in my mind, more horrific because there's children involved. Shelley is going to be the guest speaker or a guest speaker at the first ever Vulnerable No More event. It's June 18th, 2021, so coming up this following weekend at Legacy Church from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. The event is free. Toya Kaplan was on the show with For the One Ministry, and she's kind of promoting that event, and as was Michelle Schroff. And Michelle's done a lot of foster parenting, as you have, and you do work closely with those women and talk with them frequently. So, Shelley, when we come back, I'm going to ask you quickly about what you are going to be talking about at that event. Reiterate one more time, that's February 18th, Legacy Church. That's coming up this Saturday, 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things related to life and relationship with God. Life does not always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KLYT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. KLYT presents the Bible School of the Air with a new time. Each Saturday, starting at 12, KLYT will present through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, and Chuck Missler, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We will continue rotating through the Old and New Testament. Drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KLYT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Saturdays at 12 on 88.3 FM.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. After her husband died, Naomi and her three young children moved in with her parents in a majority Christian community in Nigeria's northeastern Borno state. But soon, Boko Haram, a violent Islamist organization, began waging an insurgency across the region. While working on her farmland outside the city, Naomi heard distant gunfire. She immediately started running toward town, but was caught by Boko Haram fighters. They threatened to kill her if she didn't renounce her Christian faith. Naomi pleaded with them, telling them she was a widow with children. The group's leader took pity on her and let her go. Praise God for his miraculous protection.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and our show ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or indigomortgage.net on the web. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Shelley Rep is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. Her primary focus is minor domestic sex trafficking, but human trafficking in general. And one of the things that you, I don't want this to be lost on today's show, you really believe in foster parenting, and the more qualified, loving people we can get in the foster parenting system, because we have 4,700 kids that need good, loving parents right now. So I'm appealing to our listeners. This is a way that you can help. Shelley, tell us some of the other ways that people might volunteer and help you with the New Mexico Dream Center.
Absolutely. So there's ways that are very involved to help with New Mexico Dream Center, or kind of minimally involved. So we always need donations. And so we do, Jim, we do 4 days a week of outreach here in Albuquerque to this population. And so we need volunteers who are willing to be part of that outreach. There's no way I can hire enough staff to be able to do something like that. So our outreach is almost all volunteers. Excuse me.
And Shelley, is that walking a group of people down the street?
So it's walking with a group of people down the street. Some of it is visiting hotels and motels that potentially could be places that people are being trafficked. It's going to different parts, different parks and areas in Albuquerque where there is a high degree of young homeless people, and trying to identify and reach out to those people. So there's a variety of different methods that happens. We are getting ready to start our outreach since the strip clubs have opened back up in Albuquerque. So getting ready to do outreach for the women that are in the strip clubs. And so, boy, depending on how crazy you want to get, I am the best for that. Let me help you with that. But not everybody wants to do that, Jim.
Sure.
So we do need things, though, that we take on outreach. So you just handed me a little bottle of water. I appreciate that also because I maybe had a little frog in my throat. But it is summertime in Albuquerque and it is hot. As you know, it's like supposed to be 102 degrees or something today. Water. We need donations of bottled water. We need donations of small travel size hygiene items like shampoo, conditioner, body wash, deodorant. We need donations for the small meals that we hand out when we do outreach. Every time we do outreach, we are giving away food. And so those are things like sandwiches, breakfast burritos, regular burritos, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, those kinds of things. So people can help in a lot of different ways. So if they want to, let's say, you know, give us a $100 gift card for McDonald's for us to buy cheeseburgers with so we have cheeseburgers for outreach that week, that's what we can use it for. So there's a variety of ways that people can help in that way, can volunteer. Also, we run our case management program very differently. We have a case manager who helps people get the services they need and connected to medical and behavioral health and mental health and all that stuff. But then we have what's called pro-social engagement or pro-social case management. These are volunteers, Jim, who are willing to walk side by side with one of our clients, one of our trafficking survivors, and be that friend, that shoulder to lean on that they need. And so our pro-social engagement folks are people who will take our clients out for coffee and visit with them. They will, if they need to go to the grocery store, a client needs to go to the grocery store, they'll go with them to the grocery store and they help them understand how to stick to a grocery list. What are you going to be shopping for this week? So they provide all sorts of engagement that to us as people who have not lived through severe trauma, just have from our upbringing that our clients don't have. And so pro-social is a huge, huge piece because our clients are primarily women. That is only open to ladies at this time. But it's a great way to be involved and make a difference. So if you think about kind of like you've heard of like the Big Brothers and Big Sisters program that helps young people who need extra support, it's kind of like that, but for trafficking survivors.
So, Shelley, is there a next step after they meet you and you take them off the street? Maybe you take them over to Mickey D's for a burger and they have a chance to be at the harbor. Give us an example of the services and things that you plug people into and, you know, next steps for them.
Absolutely. So the first thing that we do when we get a referral or we find somebody that is on the street that wants to come into services is we have them come to our emergency shelter. Our emergency shelter is a two-week program where they get to decide if they like us and if they want to take those next steps. Trafficking is a multi-layered traumatic situation, and sometimes it takes people a few times to decide they really want to come into services because they're dealing with addiction, they're dealing with this trafficker who might be very aggressive to them, they're dealing with these are their people, all the people they know are the people on the street. So it really is a difficult decision sometimes to just come straight from a trafficking situation into care. And so that emergency shelter that we have is kind of that gray area where they get to decide, is this really what they want to do? So during that time, they meet with our pro-social engagement folks that start taking them to coffee and start doing social things with them so that they can feel like they've got a friend. Because if you think about it, Jim, like somebody who's in a trafficking situation, they have a community. It's not a good community, but it is a community. And so for them to be willing to leave all that behind and go hang out with all of us is a big step. So we want to create community on the other side to help them make that decision. So that 2 weeks is full of all of these fluffy kinds of things. We do not require them to not be using. We don't require them to do detox at that time because that could make it harder for them if they decide not to come into our program. After that 2 weeks, when they decide they're coming into our program, then we start to get serious. So we deal with drug dependency and substance use. We deal with what safety is and create different safety plans. We show them and we talk to them about the rules of coming into our housing, and we set up an individualized service plan so that they have worked with their case manager to take, so they understand what their next steps are. All those steps are decided by the client. And so that's kind of the general way that things happen. And so we take clients that can come straight from the streets, or they can come from law enforcement or other social service agency referrals.
And you're not charging the clients for your
Zero.
Services.
We charge them $0.
But it is expensive for you to help these people. How do our listeners help you?
So they can go onto our website. We actually have a donate button right there on our homepage, or you can go to the regular donate page and read about where your money goes. But you can go on there, and it's super easy to do those online donations. You can always mail us a check if that's what you would prefer. We have some people that would like to do that. Also, I am always happy to give tours of our facility. Now, this is not where our trafficking victims live. This is our outreach center. This is where the young people come. This is where we would have clients come and get resources, but this is not where they live. We're happy to show people our facility because this is where we do all of our like outreach prep. So you get to see our clothing closet for our people. You get to see our pantry and, you know, all those things that we offer to the folks we serve.
And you can use lightly used clothing
yes.
and jackets, maybe not so much jackets today, but you're going to need them when we get
will
to
need
October.
Them. Yeah, we will. Absolutely. And when people want to give clothing donations, the thing I want everybody to keep in mind is that my clients are not going to be able to use your grandmother's prom dress that you have been keeping in the back of the closet. Now, I get that you probably don't want to hold your grandmother's prom dress for the rest of your life. However, my agency isn't the best one to give that to. Mm. We need clothes that young people are going to wear. So T-shirts, jeans in good conditions, shorts, you know, good shoes that they can walk in, those types of clothing. And so when we think about that, we'll have people call and say, oh, I've got all of these business clothes. And I'm like, hey, that's great. You want to give that to Hope Works because they help people with job interviews and all of that all the time. For us, that's so individualized and that's so far down the path that when we get to that point, we connect with like, the Sharoff's organization, like the Zoe Boutique, to get those kinds of clothes. We don't have enough space to hold them the whole time. So keep in mind, my clients are a little bit rough on the edges.
Well, but Shelley, you're also talking about addictions and things, which are often perpetuated by the trafficker.
Oh,
You've used the term leash drug.
Yes.
And a lot of the recruiting techniques are the proverbial wolf in sheep's clothing. They're befriending people online. They're trying to get people to see some value of themselves. Why aren't we as Christians making kids feel that way without trying to manipulate them?
Right, exactly.
You know, I say that. We need to show overwhelming force when it comes to this. We need to beat the traffickers to the punch, if you will. So I'm thinking in my mind that there's, you know, kids out there right now that are very vulnerable. Maybe they don't have a great relationship with a foster parent because the foster parent's probably not trained.
Right.
Maybe they're freaking out a little bit because the child's run away or whatever. You even mentioned that your foster daughter ran away.
She did.
But she's back and she's good and growing and loving, and probably took her a while to trust you and Dan.
It did. One of the things that I think is the best thing you can do for a kid as a parent, and especially as a foster parent, is build their inner wealth. Build their inner wealth. And so what that means is communicating value to them. When you communicate value and when you follow through as a person of integrity, what you've just done is you've created a root for them to hold on to. They know that you keep your word. They know that you're going to be able to listen to them and not freak out when they try to tell you something on purpose, maybe to make you freak out. That building of inner wealth is huge. We need to do it for our own children, for our bio children, for our grandchildren, so that they understand that they are important in our lives, so that they don't become disconnected. But for those kids who are already disconnected, that is one of the biggest lifelines that you can give a kid, is to start building inner wealth.
Shelley Rep is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Internet Crimes Against Children program, and you're working with them a little bit, and maybe give a few pointers to parents about what their kids might be exposed to online. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
So, New Mexico, ready to get together again? Want to see the church in full celebration mode? Well, I have good news for you.
Freedom Celebration is back, and we're ready to roll Friday, July 2nd with Phil Wickham.
This is Amazing Grace.
Oh, that's not all. It'll be quite a night, because you'll also be singing Under the Stars with Passion Worship.
Oh, no.
It's a Freedom Celebration, 6 p.m., Friday, July 2nd, on the Calvary campus. With Phil Wickham, Passion, and Andrew Ripp, food trucks, and a full fireworks display. And, of course, it's free. It's about time to celebrate our freedom. FreedomABQ.org.
In the spring, children's thoughts turn to creating wonderful summer memories. That's the case with your children and the children at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. We care for children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. Help them have the summer every child dreams of having. Your donation of funds and gift cards to restaurants, ice cream shops, and sporting events will make that happen. We can also use gift cards from clothing stores to help us outfit our children for the summer. Call 898-5520 or online at acch4kids.org.
I'm Pastor Scott Tom, host of the Bible Answer program, No Other Doctrine. We have a college to train you for ministry. You can train at ccfcollege.com, but every 2 years, I personally train up 50 men. It is low cost and only one night a week. It starts in August. Men, get more info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org or call 990-7588.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KLYT and our show ABQ Connect. Dave Slade and Associates, 505-342-8100. Holly and Dave at Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Shelley Repp is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. And Shelley Repp, before the break there, I was talking about Internet crimes against children, one of the tools that traffickers use. How do you work with ICAC? I think that's what you call it.
Yes, yes. So we love ICAC. So we have an ICAC task force here, and what their job is to disrupt the illicit market for children online. And so, in fact, with ICAC, in 2020, because of COVID, so either people were just more aware or because of COVID, because of the stresses, the ICAC reports for people approaching a child, trying to engage with a child, so they would call it enticement, went from 300-ish, which was in 2019, to 2,200 in 2020. So there was a huge increase in those ICAC enticement tips and enticement cases. So it is important that we understand that we live in a virtual world in so many different levels. Traffickers formerly would approach people in person because that's just how everything was done. But as we have migrated to online forums for almost everything, we have to understand that traffickers are in it for the money. And so they're absolutely going to use those same tools to entice children, to create fake relationships for the purpose of luring them into a trafficking situation.
And you introduced us to Kyle Woods with the Ghost Unit of the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office here a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And it was really fun to talk to Kyle. And he's been doing this a long time.
He has. Kyle's a hero.
What's interesting is the people that you have that are involved in trying to save kids.
Right.
You're in the most unlovely, difficult, awful kind of circumstance that I can even imagine.
Absolutely. It's ugly out there. What I appreciate so much about these guys, though, people like Kyle, is that they were willing to go the extra mile, Jim, to become just fabulous, fabulous law enforcement guys, officers for this population. So Kyle and the whole Ghost Unit team went through extensive training. They worked with survivors who told them about their experiences. And they did all of that so that they could better create and develop these important relationships with these young runaways so that they can bring them back. I've got three clients that I've worked with recently who the only reason we have any connection to them at all is because of what the Ghost Unit has done.
And the Ghost Unit are police.
They are.
And they are earning some credibility and some trust with these young people that have been trafficked. So that's just a major stepping stone to plugging them in to help.
Exactly. They really have. And these guys do go the extra mile for them. So they will contact us. We'll provide them with gift cards so that those kids can get food, clothing, whatever they need. They don't want us right away. Once they connect with those law enforcement officers, that's who they want to spend time with. That's a great thing.
It really is. I want to let everybody know that Shelley Rep will be speaking at Legacy Church from, the event starts from 6 to 8. It's 6 to 8 o'clock this Saturday evening at Legacy Church, their central campus out by Coors and Central. That's June 18th, again, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. I don't know what time you're going to be speaking. Michelle Schroff will also be speaking. She's been on the program with us. And it's called the Vulnerable No More event. And it's really for women, just for women. And it's to educate moms and grandmas and kids and even people that might have been trafficked and make them aware of how these wolves are coming after them.
Absolutely.
And you can see them coming from all kinds of directions if you know what you're looking for and you have that discernment. So we are praying that that event goes well. What are you going to be speaking about, Shelley?
So I'm doing what's called Human Trafficking 101. So I'm going to do the basics about what human trafficking looks like in the United States, talking about recruitment techniques, grooming techniques that traffickers use, and educating people on some of the models of trafficking and the terminology around it so that if you hear something, your ears should perk up and go, that is not a word my kid should be saying or my kid's friend should be saying, so that you can be aware.
So if you do discern something like that, if you hear your kids talking about a topic that they really shouldn't know what that means, or you see a sketchy internet communication of some kind, what do you do?
So I would say one of the best things you can do, honestly, would be to contact us at the Dream Center. So if it's something and it's in your home and you're like, this doesn't sound right, we would be happy to help talk you through some ways to talk to that kiddo or talk to that kiddo ourselves before we would have to involve law enforcement. So you can call us at 505-900-3833, or we actually have a hotline that's a text or talk hotline. And that number is 505-504-1301. And again, that's a text or talk 24/7 response hotline. We're happy to help like that. If you see trafficking and you see it out on the streets, or you see it, maybe your neighbor, something that you suspect and it looks dangerous, you need to call 911. Like, we cannot go and pull a kid out of a house. We need officers to do that. But boy, we can talk to your kids or we can talk to your family if it looks like they're falling for a situation that could be really dangerous for them.
If you're a child, I don't want to put, when I say child, sometimes a 15-year-old will go, I'm not a child. And I don't mean to call you a child. If you're a young person.
Yes.
And I have great respect for 15-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 12-year-olds. I had five of them.
You did.
And I love all of them dearly. And so I'm saying this to you because I love you dearly as well. I want your life to be prosperous, and I want you to know the blessings of Christ and have a great full life. So if you know a friend, if you have a friend that you suspect something like this is happening, can they call you, Shelley?
They absolutely can. They absolutely can. We have worked with many parents and grandparents and other people who have said, I think this is happening. My daughter has connected with somebody online. We have not met them. They keep talking about how they need to meet in El Paso or something like that. And we are happy to help coach through some things to say. Or if that kid has left, we are connected across the United States with other like agencies. And we're happy to get the word out about that and just information on how you might be able to locate your child.
Shelley, you've seen some victories, yes. And your own foster daughter is one.
Yes, yes. It has been an amazing ride with our first kiddo, especially because she had a difficult life. But guess what? She's got her own apartment. She's got a job. She's hanging in there. We're proud of her.
I love it. Shelley Rep, New Mexico Dream Center. Phone number really quick one more time.
505-900-3833.
Thank you, Shelley. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.